Rusty Thompson is a fifth-generation tobacco farmer in Versailles, Kentucky, and he joins us now. Hi, Mr. Thompson.
Hi there. How are you?
I'm fine. I understand you're on your cell phone and you are literally out in the field. Is that right?
Yeah, we're getting ready to go bale some alfalfa hay this afternoon.
Now, what do you see as you look around your tobacco farm?
Oh, what I see today is after the storm we had the other night, the tobacco took a pretty good beating. But Lord willing, the sun's shining, and we'll make it, but pretty tough right now. A lot of struggles in the tobacco industry right now.
I've been trying to figure this quota system out. This goes back to the Depression, and I guess the idea was that you'd be guaranteed a minimum price, you'd be guaranteed a percentage share of the national crop, but that quota has been going down and down and down. Do I have that right?
The quota that the state of Kentucky produced last year, the amount of pounds that we produced, was the smallest crop since the 1930s. And that has really created a financial hardship on the state of Kentucky.
Have you been talking to your fellow tobacco farmers about this possible buyout? And
we watch it daily. You know, I had to call all close friends last night and tell them what I just heard on TV about the Senate amendment. And, you know, a lot of them, you know, they have given up I don't know how many times on our congressmen and our senators that they're just not listening. I don't know whether they're finally listening or in all reality, is it a political election year? And I'm afraid that it could be a combination of both, but more so on the political election year.
Well, Mr. Thompson, if this buyout does go through, what happens to your farm, do you think?
Where does that leave me?
Yeah.
In limbo right now. Will I continue to produce tobacco? If I was a betting man, I would bet that I would not raise tobacco. The cost of production is so high now. The availability of labor is so competitive. You know, there's not many children staying on the farm, and everybody's getting older. I'm the youngest on this row, and I'm 44. it's just not worth the gray hair. 5 years ago, there were 15 farmers on my six-mile road that produced tobacco.
Mm-hmm.
This year, there's three, and I am one of those three. And we diversify here on our farm. We've got cattle, cows and calves, and steers, and corn, and wheat, and soybeans, and alfalfa. But tobacco is what pays the bills. Everything else just sort of fills in. Industry, for the most part, left U.S. tobacco for foreign, cheaper tobacco. And are they going to come back? Odds are I doubt it. You know, we want to put our children through college, and it's going to make it tough if we don't get this buyout and try to put some dollars back into our rural communities.
I wonder, as a fifth-generation tobacco farmer, and thinking ahead to the possibility that a lot of these tobacco farms might just go under, that must be sort of a strange thought for you.
It is. And normally I can lay down and go right to sleep at night, but it's really got me thinking right now. Do I want to or do I not want to continue if the opportunity presents itself? I just don't know. You know, my mother's 73, and she's working in the tobacco field as we speak. And, this is where we were born, and we're good at raising tobacco. Don't get me wrong. I'm good at it. But if I quit, somebody else in another country will take my place tomorrow. I can guarantee you that. But I think we've got to compete. We've got to open our eyes and look that we're in a world market now. We're not just in a domestic market right here in the good old U.S. of A.
Well, Mr. Thompson, best of luck to you.
Well, thank you, Melissa. I appreciate it.
Tobacco farmer Rusty Thompson on a cell phone from his tobacco field in Versailles, Kentucky.